Revelation. Is the Bible really God's word, or is it just a collection of human ideas? Here are a few words the Bible uses to describe itself. Perfect, God-breathed, authoritative, without error, the word of the living God. The Bible is God's inspired and trustworthy word to humanity, through which he makes himself known and continues to draw us to himself. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello and welcome to Wretched. Let's clear up the confusion from the jump. Dr. Priolo joining us once again. Your book, The Complete Husband. I remember when you would call me constantly to get advice and help on having a model for being the complete husband. It was an honor to be a part of that process. You have a
Actually, I called you to help me write the book on deception.
Honey, you need a bath. Now, this is a book to help husbands to be more godly, better husbands. Are you telling them that all men stink? This is a hygiene chapter. Is that what this is about?
So what I tried to do in the book is I tried to take the husband's responsibilities, all of the commands, or at least, and even injunctions or principles that God says specifically the husband ought to do for with to his wife, and include them in the pages of the book. So one of the commands is, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, gave himself for her. And then it goes on to say that he might sanctify her with the washing of water with the word, or by the washing of water with the word. And so the idea is the husband, as her sanctifier, as her spiritual leader, must learn how to help her grow and purify herself, as is the wife's responsibility to do the same thing to the husband, because she, in fact, is his helper. And if there's anything that God wants a Christian wife to do for her Christian husband, is to help him grow as a Christian and deal with the sin that he's struggling with.
Okay, address this issue right off the bat, because a man or a woman might hear that and go, good, finally. Because let me tell you, this woman has a lot of problems that need to be corrected. What's the problem with that approach?
Well, first of all, it's arrogant. I mean, the Bible says you've got to get the beam out of your own eye first. And are you willing to let your wife talk just as frankly to you about your sins and your failures? And most importantly, the purpose of this is not so that you can get what you want. The purpose of this is that you would love your wife so as Christ loved the church, and for her sake, for her sake, you want her to love the Lord. You want her to grow as a Christian. You want her to come up to you in heaven and say, look, I know we're not married anymore, but I just want you to know, because of the sanctifying impact that you had on me, I have more crowns to cast at my Lord's feet. Thank you for helping me grow and become more Christ-like.
So help that person, whether it's boy or girl, that would hear you say that we're supposed to be helping the other with sanctification. Are you kidding me with this battle axe? I bring that up and it's gonna be a bomb blowing up and it's gonna be misery for a month. What should he or she do to diffuse that?
Well, first of all, it seems to me that you need to get the beam out of your own eye first, brother. I mean, you're supposed to do this in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself. The attitude is, honey, look, I'm just one sinner showing another sinner, one beggar showing another beggar where the bread is at. You know, I love you. I want to do this because I love you. Whether you change or not is not the, for my sake, is not the primary issue here. The issue is I'm supposed to love you. This is how God commands me to love you. Oh, by the way, you really can do the same thing, should do the same thing for me. So, you know, today we're going to talk about your sin. Tomorrow we'll talk about mine. In fact, if you really want to.
Wouldn't it be better to have go first?
Yeah. We can do that. You know, I'll put my neck on the chopping block first, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But that kind of arrogant attitude, I mean, that misses the point.
But you would agree perhaps a couple
of... And calling your wife a battle axe, I mean, really.
Mrs. Battle Axe.
Yeah.
Better?
No.
All right. So maybe, though, some things need to be done, need to be said, need to be changed on your part, because you've contributed to the toxic environment that just needs a little bit of hazardous waste care.
Again, that's chapter 9. There are 8 chapters that go before that that really help the husband take a look at his own sin and clear up that. I mean, the first 4 chapters are on communication, and the questions that the husband is to ask his wife. You might want to turn to the end of chapter 2.
Hey, I'm conducting the interview. You're the guest. Chapter 9. Honey, you need a bath.
What's the question?
You know what we need? I think we need some talk show counseling.
Apparently.
All right, so the husband's got work to do first, and he's got to be the guy, and it might be a hard glunk to swallow, but you got to deal with your own sanctification first before diving in to try to help your spouse.
Right.
That's the moral to the story, and we will get to your questions. You know why, Lou?
I give up.
I'm a giver. I'm willing to just give and give. So the honey, you need a bath is helping one another in sanctification, with it being a far more ethereal goal as opposed to just having her knock off that behavior because it ruins football day.
I mean, the big takeaway from the chapter is the Spirit works through the Word, okay? And so the Spirit is the one who changes us from the inside out. And to the extent that the Word of Christ is dwelling in us, the Spirit is dwelling in us. To the extent that the Word of Christ is not dwelling in us, we're kind of handcuffing the Holy Spirit because He promised He'd work through the Word. And so the big idea of the chapter is, how can I, in practical ways, help my wife value, love, read, memorize, understand the Word of God so that the Spirit can help her change from the inside out?
Have to ask, unequally yoked, I would have to say, has got to be one of the most challenging familial configurations, right up there with being a single mom. Mm-hmm. Really hard. So the husband has an unsaved wife or vice versa. Mm-hmm. Does this chapter apply?
Again, with an unsaved spouse, they may or may not want to hear the Word of God. Again, the Bible says the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. He cannot know them.
Can they try at all to help?
Well, sometimes you'd be surprised. Sometimes the husband, for example, will say, look, I'm not a Christian. I don't know that I'm interested in being a Christian, but I really do want to know what the Bible says. I mean, you're a Christian, so let's talk about it. So, I mean, sometimes they will, and sometimes they'll say, you know, don't ever quote that book to me again, kind of a thing. And again, that's where the emphasis should be on the behavior. 1 Peter 3, let her win her husband to Christ by her behavior while he observes your meek and quiet, gentle and quiet spirit.
But if he's exhibiting some sort of sin pattern, even not saved, which almost certainly would be the case, she can still, honey,
yeah, sure.
You need to take a bath in this area.
Yes. And the question is, you know, to what extent should she use the Scripture? But certainly, you know, there are some sins that she would not be loving him if she just continued.
That is such a great point.
Enable him.
Yeah, that is a helpful point. Mm-hmm. Because so often we think, you know, correcting or trying to restrict, that's unloving. Well, that's a contemporary definition of love. Love is speaking the truth for the benefit of the other.
And speaking it graciously, right?
And
speaking
graciously.
The truth in love, yeah.
Chapter 2, this is about communication. This is the work that a man can do before trying to help his wife with sanctification, because it would be very easy for her to say, wait a second, you want to work on my issues? What about your problems, Pally? So these preceding chapters get to just that. So let me just read a few of these questions. Whew. Honey, if you could change 3 things about me that would make me more Christ-like, what would you change? Oh, that's a vulnerable question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But again, you know, we have a responsibility to create an environment so our wives feel comfortable convicting us of our sin. And sometimes they're willing, sometimes they're not willing, sometimes they're willing, but they don't do it the right way. But the fact of the matter is, as I said before, if there are helpers, then yes, we should welcome their suggestions as to how we can be more Christ-like, even, I dare say, if their suggestions are less than respectful or otherwise.
You still, the fool right. rejects that, but right. the wise man goes, all right, I didn't like the delivery mechanism, right. but right. I'm going to take that because it's right. good for me.
That's right.
Okay, would this be a fair little rule to attach to number one here?
Okay.
If your spouse goes, not a chance with you, then maybe you could just write down, okay, so bad communication, I don't listen. That would be a good start.
Yeah, if you can connect the dots that way. Yeah.
Question.
But I probably wouldn't leave it there. I mean, I get clarity. Like, honey, can you explain to me what your thinking was as to why you responded that way? Could it be this? Could it be that? Could it be something else?
All right. I'm so tempted to role play with you right now.
Let's do
but
it.
Then I would have to be the wife yeah. and you'd have to be the husband. And I know it's the 21st century. I'm not there yet.
Okay.
Just not comfortable.
Watch Transformed Couples.
Thanks for the plug reminder. Watch Transformed Couples. You will see this man in action, basically taking the principles of this and all of your other books on marriage and parenting and applying them with real people who are really struggling to communicate, which is something you actually help people do. We will tackle Lou's favorite chapters in this book, which is oh so helpful, The Complete Husband, Dr. Lou Priolo, next on Wretched.
You know, we've raised a generation of kids who can sing every word about Jesus, but they still can't say why the Bible is true. And the world, well, they've earned that because they've spent years teaching our children that truth bends and that science outgrew God. And the reasons are there. Logic, morality, the very laws that make science work, and every single one of them points back to a creator. And when you give kids that, faith stops being something they hope is true and becomes something they know is true. And it also spreads because they share it clearer with everyone around them. That's exactly what the series Irrefutable Proof of Creation with Dr. Jason Lyle was built for. It's a biblical formation for a generation that needs answers. They need real ground to stand on, not just a good feeling, and that's what Dr. Lyle is doing. New episodes of Irrefutable Proof of Creation streaming right now and dropping weekly on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know what's rare? Finding something that makes you laugh and makes you think at the same time. And that's why we brought in Gary Varvel. Gary's an award-winning cartoonist, and every week he draws in an original creation just for Fortis Institute. They're sharp, they're funny, and they usually make a point that sticks with you a little bit longer than you expected it to. And something else you'll find at Fortis Institute is Fortis News, which is hosted by yours truly. These are up-to-the-minute headlines that matter to Christians, and they're told from a biblical worldview. There's no spin, there's no agenda. It's just the news with a Christian perspective. And both of these things, part of what we're building in Fortis Institute, and both are made possible by our gospel partners. If you have been helped and you appreciate the content that we're creating at Fortis Institute, would you consider supporting us so that we can reach more people in more places all over the world? It's really simple. We know you have questions, so we have answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Be honest. When's the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Not posted something online, not liked a Christian meme, but actually opened your mouth and told someone about Jesus. If your stomach tightened just a little bit, you're not alone. Most Christians would rather do almost anything than evangelize. It's terrifying. What if they get mad? What if I say something wrong? What if they ask me a question I can't answer? Our resource, Terrified 2, it exists because Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, and He actually gave us the tools to obey it. And this resource will walk you through how to share the gospel with strangers, even family members, without needing Pepto-Bismol to get through it. You'll still be nervous, that's normal, but you'll also be equipped, and equipped beats terrified every single time. Terrified 2, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app right now on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or head to fortisplus.org.
Know your church fathers. Ignatius of Antioch was a disciple of Peter and John and the Bishop of Antioch. He was arrested and sentenced to die in the Roman arena. As he prepared to go to his death, Ignatius said, "Let fire and cross, flocks of beasts, broken bones, and dismemberment come upon me, so long as I attain to Jesus Christ."
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Wretched. Dr. Lou Priolo, I'm now going to explain to you why I'm not going to tell you three things that you could change to be more Christ-like. Because all you ever do is fight. How should a husband respond?
Honey, you're probably right. I see that I do that sometimes. I don't know that I always do it, but if that's what I'm doing, whether it's 10% of the time or 60% of the time, that's wrong. And I want to ask your forgiveness for that, but sweetie, I really need your help in trying to even recognize when I do it. Because, you know, in my mind, I'm not fighting. I'm just debating. I'm just arguing. I'm not trying to necessarily or consciously put you down. So half the times when I fight, in my heart, I'm not trying to fight with you. At least I'm not consciously aware of that.
Okay, we'll continue with this role playing, but you have to stop calling me honey and sweetie. Can we agree to these terms?
No, not in a role play, sorry. If I'm going to role play.
Terms of endearment, talking sweetly. Now, what if the fellow just kind of is like, oh, that stung?
Again, what I tell myself is God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Grace, as we said in previous episode, is the supernatural help from God. So I need all the help I can get. Right. I am, you know, either I'm going to humble myself or God's going to humble me.
But look at the opportunity for growth. Luther, of course, called marriage a school of character. Mm-hmm. You can either grow in character or you'll grow in bitterness. Mm-hmm. John Street loves to say, God will release the hounds of heaven.
Yeah, I know.
next thing I can do in preparation of even thinking about trying to help sanctify my wife, I'm working on myself. Do I have any other annoying mannerisms or irritating idiosyncrasies that you would like to see me change? That question cracks me up. Because, look.
I know why.
Maybe I'm like the only mega petty person on the planet, but I am shocked at what can bug me in a marriage, and it's the exact same thing I do. We live in a townhome. There's three levels.
Nice.
All right. I'm coming to you for help right now, Lou.
Sure.
Can you hear my heart?
I hear you. I hear your pain, brother.
Okay. And so we'll put stuff on the stairs. So we're not going up. We'll get it later. I'll walk right by my own stuff. I won't see it for days, but her pair of shoes have been there for over 4 hours. Wow, we are selfish beasts, aren't we? So when you say, tell me about my idiosyncrasies, tell me about the little things that can really lead to a lot of agitation, that's time well spent. Here's what drives me nuts, thanks for asking. Here's what drives me nuts inside of my house. When anybody has the audacity to clip their nails. And here's why it bothers me, because when I clip my nails, it doesn't make a sound. Therefore, Lou, I am right in being agitated about the idiosyncrasy of my family.
Where is it written, you shall not clip your nails?
But see, isn't that just another demonstration? Like somebody does the exact same thing I do. It bugs me. I do it, no problemo.
Therefore, you are inexcusable, O Todd, whoever you are who judge another. For in that you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judges do the same things.
But it does seem louder when they do it.
Sure. Sure. All the more reason for you to be forbearing.
All right. So idiosyncrasies is a big deal in marriage because mm-hmm. we don't even perceive that we have them, but we do. Mm-hmm. And then you get tossed into a house with somebody who has idiosyncrasies and they're not in sync. And it can be a big source of contention. How do we overcome that?
Let me start with an example. It was the first year of our marriage and we were eating dinner. Kim was at one end of the table. I was at the other end of the table.
This is going to be good.
And I'm sitting there eating, you know, my hand is resting, is on my lap. And I'm eating, munching down, you know, and she looks at me and she says, Lou, where are your manners? And she was agitated. And I looked at her and I said, what's the matter? She said, Lou, in the South, it is rude for you to eat with your hand on the table. this is her part of the South. I don't think this is universal.
Yes,
but anyway, she was really...
Kim is right.
Oh, is she?
Listen to your wife.
Okay. All right. Anyway, you know, in other parts of the world, they want to see that hand. Right. So anyway, but she was like really, really upset with me. And I said to her, honey, I love you and I'm willing to change anything in my life that's a sin. And I'm even willing to change things in my life that's not sinful, but you cannot treat something that's not a sin as though it were a sin.
That's a big deal.
It really is. And so, you know, if I'm in sin, she confronts me, I'm obligated to repent. Now, if I live with her in an understanding way, yes, I mean, you know, the toenail clippings or the thing by the stairs, you know, at some point, it does become inconsiderate. It does become a sin of omission for me.
That's right.
But it's the way that you talk to the other person. And until one time I said to her something to this effect, I said, honey, I know this is real important to you, but like, I've got real sin in my life I'm trying to deal with. I mean, try to keep in mind that the Holy Spirit's agenda for the things he wants me to work on may be a little bit different than yours. I'm willing to do that. It's not a sin. I'm working on this and this and this. So please be patient with me as I'm trying to collaborate with the Holy Spirit and becoming more like Christ.
Yeah, the way you talk, I suspect to some people sounds so distant, so impossible. They've never been at the place where either of them has said, I've got sins in my life. I need to work on these things. I'm willing to. The Holy Spirit mm-hmm. has got these queued right. up for me. Yeah. They're so far away from that.
But we're Christians, and this is what the Bible says we are to do. We are to deal with our own sin. We are to overlook the sins we can in other people. But when there's a pattern of sin, then we have to, sooner or later, address it. And again, as a husband and a wife, think about it. I'm to sanctify her. She's to help me. There's a commitment, an understood commitment, I think, or should be, in Christian marriages that we're going to sanctify each other, that she's going to help me with my sin. I'm going to help her with hers. No, we have to be patient. We have to be kind. We have to be gracious and loving and all of that. Delivery is really, really important. But at the end of the day, sooner or later, we are going to have to talk to our spouses about the things that are out of sync with God's word. And even, not as though it were sin, but even the things that are idiosyncratic and really bug us, but they're not a sin. Now, again, I may not be obligated to, you know, to fix something at the same level, something that is in idiosyncrasy, as I would something that the Bible forbids me to continue to do. But if I love my wife, I'm going to have to prioritize it in there somewhere. I can't blow it off and just have a dismissive attitude towards
right,
it.
Right, but the difference, I always, in columns, preference or sin. So before responding, is this just something, was this the way I grew up? Wayne Mack, in his preparatory book, for the in-laws, getting ready for the in-laws, mm-hmm. he talks about understanding family of origin.
Right.
Your spouse learned to do the dishes this way. Right. You learn to do them that way.
Right.
Bang, you collide. And just by understanding, okay, they grew up differently. This is a preference issue. This is not a sin issue. It just puts it in a whole nother level.
And there are other scriptures that apply. For example, he that is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. She who is married cares about how she may please her husband. So there is a sense in which when the two become one, you're going to be willing to make some negotiations. And really, things that are not clearly delineated in the scripture, you don't want to import into the marriage unless you both agree that that's the way you want to do it. The things that are clearly delineated in scripture, you have to obey, you have to follow. The things that are family traditions, things that there's nothing necessarily right or wrong about, it's a preference issue, then you really should talk about it and try to come up with a mutually agreed upon system of implementing those family traditions.
Being the complete husband starts with a willingness to identify one's own deficiencies, idiosyncrasies, and sins. Then you can talk to your spouse about his or hers. Dr. Priolo, you are now going to help me do a better job of dealing with the urgent issue of towel folding. Here's what I learned when we got married. Doing laundry, my wife didn't fold the towels right. Do you know why? Because she didn't fold them the way my mother did. So this is what I did just to help my wife. I said, you know what? Let me do that one. And then I showed her basically how to fold it and then say, and you put it in that way. So the rounded part is where you grab it when it comes out of the shell, which is the right way to do it. How should I have had that conversation with my wife?
Do you know what the definition of perfectionist is?
This isn't about me, Lou. I'm just here to facilitate. Okay, how should I have said anything to her at all?
A perfectionist is someone who takes great pains and gives them to others. Look, I mean, at the end of the, does your Bible say that a woman is to be a keeper at home, that it's more the wife's responsibility, generally speaking, she's not working outside the home? Does the Bible not say that that is like sort of the woman's domain more than it is the man's?
Yes.
And does the Bible not say that you should try to please your wife?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you put those things together, in my mind, you know, it's her domain. Like, you know, you come over to our house, you're going to look around, and when the evening's over, you're not going to say, oh, Lou, what great taste you have. And you're going to compliment Kim because you're going to know the house reflects her personality more than mine. So in things like that, I mean, I think as a general rule, it's good for the husband to defer to
let it go.
The wife.
So you wouldn't even address it?
Probably not.
The Complete Husband, Dr. Lou Priolo, host of Transform Couples. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.